What, Tom?
I was saying I'm totally unprepared. But it's, yes.
It's fine. Let's just throw ourselves into it the way we usually do.
Okay, then.
Tom Matt Attack.
You wanted me to say Tom Matt Attack then, didn't
I? I did, yeah.
This is how out of it I am.
You don't even know the drill anymore. Who are you, Tom Parry?
We missed a week, haven't we?
Yes, just 1 week.
Just 1 week.
After missing 2 weeks before that.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that's happened in this time.
It has, yes.
My personal life. I don't know what else happened in yours. Maybe something else.
Bought a new razor. Yeah, bought a game of Viola at the time we live in. It's fun.
I moved out of the shack. Matt Attack.
We burnt it shack. To the ground. No, we didn't. We just vacated it.
Yeah, and that was a job. And a special thank you to those who helped move.
If any of them are listening to this, yourself, I know one of them is because she's in the kitchen.
Good lady, Marta. It went rather well, the move. But it was, you know, I had a lot of stuff. I didn't realise how much stuff I had until we started moving out of the flat.
Two vans full, Tom.
Yeah, this is nearly 4 years in Denmark, and I've amassed such a lot of stuff. I mean, games and consoles are a massive part of them, and trying to fit them into my new place, well, I'm sharing the place with some friends, but fit them into them in my tiny room. I actually recreated the Tom and Matt Attack living room in the shack.
Yes.
In my room.
It's almost like an exhibition of our old apartment.
It's got the retro gaming corner still there.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's combined with my working desk. And then you've got the old TV stand with all the consoles on.
The classic IKEA black frame with a lot of consoles, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, things I need, like a bed and a wardrobe and stuff, but a DVD shelf.
A DVD shelf that's like enough to fit like three rows of DVDs into it. It's a very deep shelf.
It's a frustratingly deep shelf, to be honest, with them. Not good spacing for shelves.
No, it isn't. Like, why would you need a shelf that deep is what I was wondering when I saw it, but it was there, it was free.
It's for those who like their deep shelving.
Yeah, well, at least it's not like a philosophically deep shelf. Like, it's not got questions like, why are we here, written on it.
We're Tom Matt Attack and we're a gaming podcast.
Occasionally, yeah, when we're not talking about moving. So what have you been doing with gaming, Tom?
With gaming? I picked up Mario Maker as the weekend I moved out.
Yeah, that weekend you literally picked it up, you looked at it, that's nice, and then put it in a box.
Have you played it?
I did, I played it, yeah.
Yes, we were delivering some furniture, because thankfully I was able to shift a bit of furniture that I had no room for. By giving it away free, of course.
You gave it away free.
Yeah. And not of all was fit in the moving van, so during that time, yourself and our friend Jonathan played Mario Maker. And what are your thoughts on it?
I really like Mario Maker. As we were discussing yourself, you've only played the tutorial. I've played a bit of the tutorial and then some other people's levels, which is where the fun lies for me, is just kind of logging on and doing the 10 Mario challenge. Have you come across that yet?
Yeah.
Your brief foray into it?
Yeah. I played it for 20 minutes this morning. I was able to just get on to the 10 Mario challenge.
There is even a 100 Mario challenge further down the line.
And these levels, where are these from? These are random levels?
These are random levels downloaded from the internet.
They're user-created?
They are user-created levels, yes.
Wow, does it have a filter on the standard of these levels?
It has a filter in difficulty.
Okay.
However, there's no filter of no automatic levels, no extremely hard levels, no this, no that. It's just purely difficulty based, and that difficulty, I believe, is based on the clear percentage.
Okay.
So whenever you click on a level, be it in the charts or whatever, it has a clear percentage in the bottom left corner of the level description, from what I remember.
So what is Mario Maker for those who aren't aware? I imagine it's very few.
Yeah, well, it seems to be very well covered across the internet, so I don't really want to say too much.
A brief explanation is it's a game which allows you to create your own Mario levels.
Very simply, very user intuitively. It's just very well designed.
And you can skin them in a variety of different styles throughout the ages. For example, the original Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 3, New Super Mario U, and Super Mario World.
World,
yes. No Super Mario 2 or anything in between. It's just
there are
doors.
There seems to be a lot of things that you can use to customize, but at the beginning of the game, not everything's available to you. Is that
no, they are
correct?
Unlocked over time.
Yeah, so your levels you develop yourself will get more and more complex the more you play the game, because the more features you'll have at your disposal.
Yes. Each amiibo also unlocks a new costume,
which is great.
Yes, they're pretty fun.
For example, Sonic in a Mario game, it blows my mind.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
But there's also some pretty cool things, like you can have Link in a Mario game, which I already have. I have a ROM hack somewhere on on an emulated cart that's Super Mario Link.
Yeah.
Which is a shit meme
for
a Zelda.
I guess the
game,
first time that would have happened would have been Mario Kart 8. That was Link's first arrival, to my knowledge, in
that's
Mario
true.
Title.
You can. There's also a way of getting a Mario Kart. I don't know how you do that, but there is a...
I've seen a level like that.
I played a level like that. There was essentially me riding on Mario Kart cart and going through the levels. It's a bit weird, though. Like, I'd prefer it if you could, if they weren't just like a power-up skin you could pick up.
Because you'll always start as Mario until
you always
pick
start
up
as Mario until you pick up a costume, yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer it to be like, okay, well, you can get Sonic, and then if you hit something, you become a bigger Sonic, and then you, when you're invincible, become Super Sonic or whatever. Like, I'd prefer there was more level of depth to it.
But
like
you've got to remember, it's probably Mario Maker. These are just added
Easter
eggs,
but surely wouldn't have taken that much effort.
Yeah, but they want the focus to be on Mario.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's essentially, it could theoretically, especially like if characters like Mega Man were more robust, and he looks odd. He doesn't look like 8-bit Mega Man. He looks like this small chubby thing. It's really weird.
Even in the 8-bit style Super Mario Brothers, yeah.
You can only use these costumes in the 8-bit style Marios. You can't use them in like 3 World
or Wii
U. It
would
have
been cool to have seen a Sonic who looked more like we know him now in the Wii U.
Yeah, it would have, but they're only limited to the 8-bit one, because as you say, it is an extra. And I mean, like, they're doing it for like 50 characters, so they just made 8-bit sprites.
I'd say this is great, though. We got a new Mario game on the Wii U, effectively,
with
endless possibilities.
Exactly, I think it's like, it's almost the ultimate version of a Mario game.
I'm very glad we didn't get another new Super Mario Brothers game, actually, which they could have easily just released another one.
They could have, but I mean, I think they've realised that they are at the end of that trail now, I think. Yeah. I think they realise they've done most of what they can do with it, and I think that's why
they've
done 4
new Super Mario Brothers games now.
Yeah, one on the DS, one on the 3DS.
One on the Wii and one on the Wii U.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's even like sequels on the 3DS, right? Isn't there? And like New Super Mario Brothers 2, like isn't? Or is that the
one?
That
is the 3DS one.
That's the coin one, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this was a great direction for the series to move in. Now.
Yeah.
Until we get a proper, I'm hoping 3D Mario game.
It must be coming, right? Like, I don't think we will see it on this console.
We've had Mario
World,
yeah.
I think it will be 3D. On the NX. I don't think it'll be on this.
And when I say a proper 3D Mario game, I mean, 3D World was great. I really like that a lot. But basically, that was taking the New Super Mario Brothers template and putting it into 3D.
Yes.
Which was what 3D Land was on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Which was great. But, you know, Mario 64, I know it doesn't hold a place in your fond memories, but in mine, it does. And the idea of having an overworld, a hub, which is becoming very popular now, games like Yooka-Laylee are trying to bring back that 3D platform adventure game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that's next. But for now, I'm very content with Mario Maker, and I'm looking forward to playing a bit more of it.
Seems good.
I know what you want to talk about this week.
Actually, no, I was going to segue into something else before that.
Oh, right.
Have you turned on your PlayStation 4 this month and downloaded any of the free games on offer?
What free games are on offer, Matthew?
Grow Home is
I played it.
A game on offer. Yeah. And
before
speaking of the evolution of 3D platformers, I'm pretty on board with Grow Home. I really like the game.
I think it's a unique concept.
It is. British team as well. It's from Newcastle, the people who made it. Published by Ubisoft.
From Newcastle? Are they based in Newcastle?
They're based in Newcastle, yeah.
Wow.
seemed pretty nice. For those of you who don't know, you're a little robot who is travelling through space and you land on a planet and your goal is to go on these planets, plant a star seed, and then it grows into a plant and then you take the seeds and then they power your engine to go to the next planet. There's only one planet in the game, so essentially it's like you run out of fuel and then you have to grow this thing to go home, hence grow home.
Mm.
And it's pretty delightful. It's a pretty nice platform. It's not really long. It's around the 3 hour mark.
It's climbing based.
It is climbing based, yeah. You're very floaty, loose. You kind of almost feel a little bit ragdoll. Like Octodad. Yeah. It's very ragdoll in how you go.
But you have a lot more control than you...
You do, yeah.
Well, you have control over Octodad, but you have a little bit more control over the...
Well, the climbing mechanic in it is great because you use the triggers to climb, so they are your hands. And
a concept which I've always liked the idea of. In fact, I had my own game idea using that concept.
Yeah.
Mike the Mountain Climber. Oh. It was racing up mountainsides using the shoulder buttons. It's going to be a portable game.
Yeah.
That's how I envisioned it.
They stole your bloody idea, Tom. Not Someone quite, in Newcastle like drove down a crew... Said that boy's gone to something there. Let's this put
this in a 3D environment.
You had
power-ups, It'd be like Mario Kart, and it's going to be for the DS, and you draw barriers on the screen to prevent the other player getting up. And
yeah.
Yeah.
What could have been, Tom?
I have these ideas every now and again.
Yeah? Mike the Mountain Climber.
Yeah.
Mike. Coming to a DS near you very soon.
At one point, I thought, they could skin it to be a Mario game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mario the Mountain Climber.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
Never mind. So you use this thing and you climb up mountains and it's all pretty intuitive and pretty nice. It does get a bit frustrating because essentially when you get higher and higher, you do have to look around for these crystal shard things that are in the level. And based on the percentage of those you've collected out of the 100, you gain new power-ups such as a jetpack and the ability to fly and the ability to glide and stuff. However... there are teleporters around the levels, so you can teleport further up the level once you've found them and unlocked one of these teleporters. But falling off right at the fucking top is one of the most infuriating things in the world. Because when you're falling, because it is such a physics-based game, unless you have a really, really high jetpack, which I didn't even have when I completed the game, because I was like, I just want to climb, I don't want to... Look
it
for
really
these
grabbed
things.
You then to play through it.
I pretty much I beat it in one sitting. I played it a little bit with Marta just to see what it was like, and then I sat down the next evening and realised it wasn't very long and just kept playing it and really liked it. But the explorative element of it for me isn't there because I know you're supposed to go up, and it's like, yeah, you can run around and there are things to find, and I found some really cool things, and there's a whole log thing you have to scan. Creatures eventually and scan plant life to document them and you get power-ups and skins through doing that, but I wasn't that bothered. I liked playing the game, but the world itself to me was a bit infuriating because I didn't want to explore too much because there's always the possibility of falling off the edge, and then if you fall off the edge then you've got to find a teleporter and go
play
back
it
up.
Safe
yeah kind of a little bit. Unlike another open world game, which I will talk about in a brief moment, where I just went mental and did everything I could. But all in all, for a free game, very nice. I've talked about it previously on the podcast that I wanted to play it when it was launched on Steam, so I'm finally glad that I've had the opportunity to play it.
Already popular before it became a free game, as it was the one that was voted out of three possibilities for PlayStation Plus game.
Well, it's because it wasn't on a home console. I think a lot of people like myself who are primarily console gamers didn't have the chance to play it on PC.
Well regarded, yeah.
Yeah, and so everyone wanted to play it. So
what happened to the other two games didn't get picked, though?
They're on PSN still.
They just won't be free.
They just won't be free, yeah. And then someone was pointing out that one of the other games was actually twice the price, so everyone should have voted for that to be free because Grow Home was only 60 krona or something, but never mind.
But I think it's nice to be given a choice.
Yes.
As to what you want, yeah.
It's all right.
Always been a supporter of PlayStation Plus. I think it's a very worthwhile service.
Agreed. Yeah. You'd be playing anything else in between Move In and Groove In, or...?
I'm trying to rack my brains now and think if I actually have. I something tells me that I have.
Anything on your DS? Anything?
No, not portable. Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I play that regularly every Thursday night now with.
Okay,
Gareth.
I thought you meant on a portable, and I was like, you're playing Call of Duty on the go now?
No, I'm quite into that. I know. It's good, simple fun. I can understand why a lot of people do just play first-person shooters,
yeah.
I suppose. I couldn't do that myself, but I do see their appeal. And for a couple of hours on a Thursday night every week, I'm quite happy to play a bit of Black Ops 2. It's quite straightforward. I enjoy it. Really trying to wrap my brain as to anything else that I've played just recently. If I think of anything, I'll let you know, Matthew.
Okie doke.
But you carry on, because you have a... Actually, I've played that game.
You have played that game.
I have that play. I was very lucky to get it for my birthday.
What is that game, Tom?
That game is Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Yes, it is. I've played a lot of The Phantom Pain, Tom.
Yeah, well, I've heard it's a massive game with an awful lot of content within.
It seems endless. I honestly could see people putting hundreds of hours into this game. It's fucking insane, the depth of it.
And very cinematic, especially. I've only played the prologue of the game, which blew me away. I don't think I've actually experienced anything like that in a video game that I felt so immersed in it.
Yes.
And it was so well directed and orchestrated, and when you did slowly get more control over the character, who is Big Boss, I suppose.
Yes, Big Boss.
That just felt effortless. And I was amazed at how it flowed, the movement of Snake, when you just were given the reins and you started shooting stuff and you're like, hey, this actually is very much a next generation Metal Gear Solid title.
It is. It's kind of sad in a lot of ways, because this is probably the last bastion of games that have such a rich background. Like, this gaming series has existed for over 28 years now, and it has been helmed by the same guy. Like, yeah, you can say Shigeru Miyamoto has been around for Mario games, but he's not the guy designing Mario games anymore. He just gives input.
Mm. But Hideo Kojima has been hands-on throughout every Metal Gear game.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he wasn't going to do 3. He was supposed to be a new director for 3, and then they kind of ballsed it up and he had to kind of come in and save the project.
Yeah.
But it's so
he
disappointing.
He wasn't director on Acid, though, I don't think. He's probably a producer, perhaps.
I think so. Yeah. The only game I know he didn't work on hands-on is the NES version of Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Because it was ported by another team in the company, and he has absolutely nothing to do with Snake's Revenge, which is the second game on the NES.
Yeah.
They made that without him knowing. He then found out they were making this, and someone said, oh, would you want to make a proper sequel for the MSX? Mm. But it's very expensive and very rare. It wasn't available to anyone until it was on Subsistence. You can play it, and I keep meaning to, but it's very hard.
But he's a man who's been passionate about Metal Gear. And, you know, that passion shows in Phantom Pain.
Yes. And it's very evident that this is a game that was created with a lot of love and a lot of care. And, you hear stories coming out of Konami that he's very wasteful in the development process, and that's perhaps what led to him leaving, is that he'd be spending a lot of money developing, like, little things in this game that didn't really matter as a whole.
Economically, Hideo Kojima wasn't a good fit for Konami at this time.
Well, yes, I guess so. Like, how much it costs to make a video game these days.
Yeah.
He apparently may have scrapped entire sections of the game, like a moment's notice, and redone them, and all this kind of stuff. Apparently, there was a lot of things going on with him. Mm. However, it is a testament. Like, Mad Max came out on the same day. I haven't played Mad Max. I hear it's okay. However, watching gameplay of that video and what seems like a very stereotypical, this is an open world game, then playing Metal Gear, it's a whole other world. And I can understand why most open world games aren't like this.
Mm.
But it reminds me a lot of Red Dead.
Yeah. Like, the setting, Afghanistan only, is a desert.
The only other game I've ever felt this way about that I've gone, I really like this open world, is Red Dead. Like, even GTA games, I never really... I'm not a guy who likes open world. I don't like sandboxes.
I think as much as I like Shadow of Mordor, I think its open world is a little bit dull.
Yeah.
And it does actually feel, for the amount I've actually played that game, rather small and rather samey.
Yes.
Actually.
And that's kind of how I feel with a lot of open worlds. Red Dead, like I said, is the only one that, like, you'd be riding around on your horse, and then you fucking, like, a cougar will jump at you and take out your horse. You're like, shit! There's stuff to do between worlds.
So is it saying that desert settings are the best for open world games? Is Mad Max successful in that?
Apparently not. Generally, average reviews, some even bad reviews from what I've read. But it seems to be...
There's nothing to see.
Got a rather lukewarm reception. Apparently it's got the same issue.
I heard on one hand it did actually nail that feeling of being in a massive wasteland.
Yes. Least.
But that actual massive wasteland itself maybe wasn't as interesting as it could have been.
Yeah, but like, think about it though. Like, yes, you can nail being in a wasteland. But like, is that a fun gameplay experience? Like, with nothing to do between places?
I really like Rage, if we're talking about kind of open world games with the in deserts.
I never played Rage. It was one of those games I always wanted to play.
I thought he did a lot of things quite interestingly. But we're not talking about Rage, we're talking about Phantom Pain.
Yes.
And yeah, how has it been for you? Have you completed the game?
I thought I had. I put like 40 odd hours into the game, and then I was like, right, I'm on the last mission. I'm going to fight the bad guy. We're going to get this shit done. Did that. And spoiler, apparently that's not the end of the game.
No.
So there's a whole chunk of content
I've heard that what goes after, a lot of that is reworkings of previous missions.
Yes.
So that seems a bit strange to me.
Well, there are missions in between that are like, okay, you're extracting this guy who was related to XOF, which is the anti-Foxhound group. Mm. Like, you're a member of Fox. There's an XOF who are the anti-you. It's almost the yin to your yang.
Yeah.
And there are missions where, like, there's stuff concerning the story and there are other things going on. However, they start doing missions that infuriate me as someone who is shit at stealth. There are subsistence missions, which are missions where there's no like slow down. When people spot you, they spot you, and you start only with your bionic arm, and you need to find all your equipment in the field, like you did in Metal Gear Solid 3, when you just kind of dropped in. It's like, okay, you need to find your weapons and stuff on the ground, which is kind of annoying, because it's like, okay, I've got this amazing arsenal of stuff I've been building up for like 50 hours, now I can't fucking use any of that to do the same missions that I did really easily with that stuff. It's like, great, now this is really difficult. Not really feeling that, because it's the same mission over and over again.
So now you aren't as compelled to play it?
Well, I'm not necessarily. There's extreme missions as well, which are really annoying, which are essentially missions where if you get seen, you're dead. And I'm just shit at stealth. It's not...
But you still enjoy Metal Gear, even despite...
I've persevered, because I want to know the story. But at this point, I've almost kind of got to the point where I'm like, okay, I've played this game for about 50 hours now. Maybe I should
enjoy the gameplay to a degree.
I fucking love it. Yeah. I think it is one of the best games I've ever played.
Yeah. Like, even though you're not a fan of stealth.
You don't have to play it stealthy, though. That's why I don't get this whole, like, oh, by the way, we're going to force stealth on you now, and we're going to force these restrictions on you.
Yeah, when you've got used
to
playing it in a very different way.
To me, this almost feels like the hand of Konami. Because there are missions in between. But I guess they had to pad it out. Or maybe there were missions that were taken out and they didn't want to fuck up the pacing of just giving you all of this content in one go.
But you say to me you would have been quite happy with the game finishing when you felt it was naturally going to finish.
I would have, but there were still a lot of things left unanswered. Yeah, and I guess there had to be a resolution, because we know where the story goes from here. We see...
Because this is, to explain, set before this is Metal Gear...
No, this is to set Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Like, this is to set the first game on the MSX. Like,
yeah, but the natural progression would have been, you know, you'd think 4, 5, it would be continuation. Yeah, yeah. But for those who've played 4 know why this can't be a sequel
yes. to that.
But yes, this is set to before 3?
This yeah. is set after 3.
After 3,
right, how
okay.
the Metal Gear timeline goes is 3 is chronologically the first one. Then you have Peace Walker, which is the PSP game slash Xbox 360 and PS3 game now, respectively, because it was released on the HD collection. Then you have 5. Then you have Metal Gear on the MSX and NES. Metal Gear 2. Then Solid, then 2, then 4?
Mighty confusing.
Yeah, I don't know where Rising Revengeance falls into this. I think it's after 4.
I know, Revengeance is the, yeah, after 4. Yeah. I know that much. Yeah.
So, yeah, all of this stuff has a long continuity, as we said, 28 years of Metal Gear.
I even forgot about Revengeance then. That's another game that I doubt Kojima was very much in. Not very involved in.
Though. He's involved to some extent, I think. Yeah. Like, I think he gives story beats and stuff, but I think that's about
a game you famously don't like.
I despise that game with every core of my being.
Yeah, it's still well regarded. If you look anywhere online, the majority of reviews will say that it's an 8 out of 10 game.
I don't think it gets anywhere near that. I don't think it is as good as any other Platinum game. I think it's a very poor Platinum game. And the story is pretty much the only draw there. Like, that it is completely fucking over the top, like Metal Gear 4 on some kind
steroids.
Of weird drug story. Like, it just goes insane. And they've stripped a lot of that back for Phantom Pain. Like, it isn't as mental as the rest of the games have been, especially
the beginning
like,
has
4.
Some quite.
Yeah.
Far out imagery.
Like, if you've seen the trailers to Phantom Pain, you will know about like the flaming fucking unicorn and the giant whale on fire. Like, if you've seen the first
trailer.
It's all
very visceral and exciting.
It is very trippy.
When that thing's flamey man.
Yeah,
I
man on
know,
fire.
It's chasing after you and you're on the horse. You know that first instance where you like feel like you have to shoot at him?
Yeah.
You're on the ground, he's walking towards you slowly and... I felt like he'd been protecting me so far, so I didn't feel like I should shoot him.
Yeah.
Did you get that feeling?
I kind of got that
he would appear when you were in trouble and then everyone else would get killed, but
yeah.
you'd still survive. So when it actually came to the point that I was asked to shoot, I thought, well, bullets don't seem to do any good, so I didn't fire a single shot at him initially.
Yeah.
And then the truck comes in and hits.
Yeah. I did the same too.
I'm doing spoilers here. It's
well,
the prologue.
No, this
so
is the first, like, I'm going to put a flag. I'm just going to, I haven't even called the podcast, like, light Metal Gear Solid spoilers or something like that.
Yeah. We are doing it a while after the game's release.
We
now,
are.
But,
is, well, God, is there almost a month at this point? It came out on the 1st of September, yeah. So, right. yeah.
And then, of course, after that, you have to shoot him because you're escaping on the horse. That is incredibly tense and
yes,
exciting as you're on the back of the horse with... Is it Ocelot?
It's Ocelot,
yes,
yeah.
At that point, yeah.
Who looks more like Ocelot in Metal Gear than he does in 3... where he's like a snot-nosed kid, almost.
Yeah, yeah, he looks very different in
yes.
3, isn't he?
He's kind of, it's kind of the middle stage, which is kind of cool to see.
Mm.
Like, his hair's longer and he's starting to recede.
Mm.
Yeah, it's such a fucking good game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that and Mario Maker, hopefully for a little bit, at least this weekend.
Yeah. I'm hoping to finish Metal Gear at some point, but I'll see. I don't know, like I said, these extreme missions and stuff aren't really my cup of tea. And that may actually turn me off. Like, I've seen credits, I've seen the end of the game, like, in terms of story. Like, some stuff happens after this, and I guess there's going to be big reveals as to why things are as they are, and a lot of questions left to answer. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, oh, I could just watch those online if I really wanted to.
So your advice would say if you, you should buy it, regardless of if you're a Metal Gear fan or not.
I think it is a very good game. I think while you will be scratching your head at some stuff, I don't think it is overly fan-wankery as Metal Gear 4 was.
What a wonderful term.
You needed to know like everything about like the Patriots and Zero and all this other stuff to enjoy Metal Gear 4. And would you say
some of Metal Gear is just incomprehensible, though? Even if you have played through all of the games... Would you say it is still, even with that knowledge, a little confusing.
Yeah.
I've heard this. I mean, I'm just curious because...
Well, it's because, like, Kojima tends to, like, retcon stuff and, like, go, oh, no, actually, we thought it was this, but it's actually this, which is just him changing his mind about why stuff does stuff.
Yeah. Seems it's to have a lot of
the George Lucas approach to storytelling. But it's all good and hood. Yeah. Like,
you think we'll ever see a Metal Gear Solid film?
Probably not.
Now, because Konami, I guess now, do they own the name?
They own they own all of Metal Gear. Like Kojima couldn't.
He came out of it with.
He would never come out with it with anything. Like it's still, you know, as you know, working for a large company, there's still a thing where IP created for that company is owned by that company.
But I guess if Kojima had a desire to make a film, he'd be able to get the rights from Konami to do it.
I don't know. It seems to be a lot of bad blood between Kojima and Konami.
Konami wouldn't be producing the film.
Yeah, but they'd still have to give him the rights and they'd probably say, no, fuck you, because and it's Kojima.
But to get the money, I just think how spectacular it would do. Wouldn't you think a Metal Gear movie?
I would imagine.
But there may be a reason why he hasn't done it yet. Maybe it's not a medium he wants to tell stories in. Maybe games for Kojima is...
Oh, I don't think so. Like, you've played those games. They are very movie-esque.
That was a very stupid thing to say because it's obvious playing them that he wants to make a movie.
Yeah. it's interesting
And he's talented in that respect. Yeah. I think he could make a movie. Perhaps.
I'd like to see a Metal Gear movie, but I mean, like, I don't think you can really make a Metal Gear movie.
Hmm.
You know, like, they're so long-winded and there's so much explanation of things. Like, I think audiences would be bored. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it would need some attention if you ever reconsideration as a movie. But I'm just curious to think where the series will go next or if it will go anywhere.
Well, like,
I mean, Konami are definitely going to.
Konami are hiring for a new Metal Gear game. Like, but I just wonder if they do and they start making one, if it'll either never see the light of day or if it'll be one of these cases of like, hey, we're doing a Metal Gear game and it goes Metal Gear 3 and they have to get Kojima back in. And I don't think that'll ever happen, though. I think they would rather let it die than let Kojima.
I think they may do more games, but maybe they'll be app games and it won't be story-based particularly.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe it'll just be like Metal Gear Online.
I think that's the only way it can go. I don't think we'll ever see another game quite like Metal Gear 5.
Probably not. I don't think we'll ever see another game like Metal Gear Solid 5. I think not for a good few years. I think this game is so far exceeds every other open world
title. I don't think
title.
We've seen a game like Metal Gear 4 until Metal Gear 5, in a way. No. In terms of that attention to detail. And
I think it's a game that people will look at and people who are making open world games will look at and just go, great, we can't fucking do this. We haven't got the time. We haven't got the budget. We haven't got... Fuck, like... Metal Gear 4 was almost a launch title for the PS3. It's almost like, fuck, how long is that?
Mm. It's still... Well, I haven't played it for a while, but I imagine it still holds up.
This game has probably been in development for about 5 or 6 years, I would say. I don't know that for true. Maybe it is shorter time, but...
You try the online?
I haven't yet. It's only just launched.
Oh, really? So it wasn't available?
It wasn't available. I haven't tried any of the FOB, like, base infiltration stuff or anything like that, because that just seems like more Metal Gear. And I'm like, I'd rather plow through the story than do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, very, very good game. Picked up anything?
Actually, yes.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, it's no secret that I've kind of trying to distance myself from eBay.
Yes, you were rather addicted.
We say it'd become a bit of a problem. I have managed to do that. I think mostly because I've been too busy to even think about eBay.
Yeah.
But also I was aware, and now even more so, I'm amassing a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And when you start thinking practically about life and about thinking that you're probably not going to live in the same place forever, and you'll have to move all this stuff again at some point.
Yes.
So I even realised that I should probably stop accumulating so much stuff. Because having to move just what I moved over that weekend, it made me realise that I don't need a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I consider the things I have in Denmark are, you know, pretty important, I felt. I didn't think I had a lot. I didn't think there was much stuff I could do without, but... Anyway, so saying that, I did actually pick up a couple of things on eBay just recently. But not in the way that I was previously. I picked up a set of Amiga games, which included Rainbow Islands, Bubble Bobble, and that other one that's in...
Parasol Stars.
Yeah. A three-pack.
Wow, really? Okay, I didn't even know that existed.
£18 for the Amiga with postage. Really happy about that. I mean, I wanted Bubble Bobble originally on the NES. I thought, oh, we'll get it on the NES. You know, that'd be a great version to get. But the prices were as much as this three-pack for the NES cart on eBay at this present moment.
How much did you pay for this?
£18 for the three games.
That's actually pretty cheap for the NES cart.
No, 18, yeah. Okay, yeah, but I was happy with it for three Amiga games. I wouldn't pay £18 for the NES cart of Bubble Bobble.
I think actually £18 for the NES cart of Bubble Bobble is actually a very good price.
Well, who knows? They could have been went for higher eventually, but at the point when I was looking at them, they were
I've seen that game generally sell in the region of about £50.
Wow. It's a great game, and it's a shame that it demands such a high price.
It does, because it is a definitive version of that game. It's not arcade perfect, but it is as close as you can get on an 8-bit
system.
Well,
I'm hoping the Amiga version is pretty solid. I imagine it's got to be, considering how powerful the Amiga is compared to the NES.
Yeah, that's true. I've never played the Amiga version of it. I must.
I should have maybe done my research, but I just I can't.
Oh,
go
well,
wrong.
That's actually dropped in price quite considerably. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I also picked up Lemmings 2 Tribes on the Super Nintendo, a game I already owned, but I didn't own the box, and I got it again for I think about £18.
Oh well, at least it wasn't like Lemmings 1 and go, oh shit, I bought another copy of Lemmings 1 on the...
Yeah, that was Christmas Lemmings.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. At least you didn't rebuy the same version of Lemmings you already owned for the Super Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
As you did live on a podcast.
Well, actually, I don't own the European version of Lemmings 1 on the Super Nintendo. I own the North American version and the Japanese version.
You have a Japanese version?
Yeah, I actually had that first. I wasn't intending to buy any other version of the Super Nintendo game because the Japanese has a better cover. It has the original Lemmings cover.
Yeah.
And I didn't see why I'd need another version until I picked up a very mint North American box copy.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to be completist, I could get the European one, but I don't have any plans to.
Not yet.
At the moment. And I might have picked up something else small, but really I'm really happy with the amount of time I'm spending off eBay.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough.
Oh, Warrior World. I bought it in the end.
You bought it in the end?
Yeah, for £15.
Not so too bad. So you got a box of Warrior World.
This is when he knew it got really bad and I had to stop. When I bought an empty box of Wario World for the GameCube.
How much did you pay for the empty box?
I ended up paying, I think, £3.50.
Okay. How'd you do that?
No one else bidded on it.
Ah, okay.
So, I paid a little bit over the odds for the game because I ended up buying an empty box for it too.
Well, theoretically speaking, you may now have a really mint manual and box.
Like, I know the manual and boxes I bought was graffitied on the manual was.
Really?
Yeah, because it was used in a store, so it had some sort of writing on. Didn't bother me. It wouldn't bother me normally.
Yeah.
It's no better than the one I think I've got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Did you pick up anything, Matthew?
I picked up one or two things in the last week. Like, not a lot, like, in terms of brand new games. Like, I want to get Mario Maker, but I haven't picked that up yet. I haven't really bought any Game Boy stuff either. I've got a few games on their way that I ordered at the start of the month that I'm still waiting on, which is kind of infuriating. But I picked up in charity shops, actually. I've been doing a lot of charity shopping, looking for some titles.
I was with you this you were. Morning.
I did a bit of charity shopping last week, and I managed to pick up... Actually, you got a game out of it as well, which is Colin McRae Dirt 2.
Sorry, I forgot about that. I've actually played that.
Yeah? Is it all right?
Yeah, it's nice presentation. Very street.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very,
man.
Hey, bro, let's do a race.
Okay.
Which is... I don't remember Dirt 3 being quite that intense.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's very polished, very good game. Yeah.
I picked up, along with that copy of Colin McRae Rally Dirt 2, a copy of Modern Warfare 3 for the Xbox 360, and a copy of...
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Yes, which we talked about on a previous podcast, and I'd completely forgotten about. And I went to give it to you, because I said, oh, we've got a 360 version of this. And you said, no, but it's the game we were talking about in the podcast, like Burnout. And I flipped it over, and it said, from the makers of Burnout. And I was like, oh, yeah, fuck. Okay, well, I'm going to keep this.
And have you given it a go?
I haven't yet. I don't even think my 360 is hooked up, to be honest with you.
No, you haven't played on it for a while.
I have not played on it in about 6 months. I haven't touched any 360 games in a long time. Now I have reason to, because I have those two games that I want to give a try, and... At a wonderful price of 2 kroner a game.
And that 20p?
Which is 20 pence for those titles.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fucking happy with that.
Yeah, you've not played Modern Warfare 3?
I'm not bothered, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Even I've played Modern Warfare 3.
Well, like, I played Modern Warfare 2 and I really liked it, and then once I knew it was an Infinity Ward, I wasn't really that bothered.
Oh, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's what you expect. They're all kind of similar.
Yeah.
Remember the first mission on the boat, or the second mission was quite fun?
I don't know.
No.
I have not played it.
Okay.
I'll give it a go. But today I picked up a few games as well. I went to the charity shops, as you were there with me.
Mm.
First of all, I snagged a Phoenix game title that I've been after for a while. I actually picked up two Phoenix...
Funny, you're actively searching for Phoenix
games. I am
games
actively
still.
Searching for Phoenix games still. I managed to pick up last week, actually, through a Facebook group, some guy who just put all of his PS2 games on this group. And they do a thing on Danish Facebook groups. I haven't noticed it so much on British retro game groups, where they like auction stuff on their retro game groups.
Mm.
So this guy put up all of his PS2 games and he was like, give bid 10 kroner. Like, all was right. The starting price. So I put 10 kroner down on...
That's nothing.
Yeah, it's a quid again. On one game called Power Volleyball, which is just a volleyball game, but I could see
but
it was
PS2?
A Phoenix game.
Yeah. I might have a volleyball game.
There's lots of volleyball games on the
I've
PS2.
I've got one with an anime-style character on the front.
Oh, no, that's the 505 one you have.
Okay,
that's like
yeah.
That's some kind of other volleyball game.
Okay.
But this was Power Volleyball by Phoenix, which apparently isn't that bad a game. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. But there's also a game in that lot called Mambo, which is a...
Number 5.
Yes, Mambo Number 5. It is literally a musical version of that. No, I don't even know what I'm talking about. No, I'm not going down the Mambo Number 5 rabbit hole.
Sorry, there you go. Carry on.
But it essentially, from the looks of things, is a maze game... With an elephant, and you're collecting fruit and avoiding...
Already sounds better than Maze Action. I was worried then when you said Maze Game.
Yeah.
Maze Action is another budget PS2 title, which isn't very good, which I discovered.
Yeah. Well, this one seems okay. It seems a bit ropey, but like it's got a giant elephant on the front of it, which seems pretty nice. However, it is regarded as being amongst the top 10 rarest PS2 games of all time. It is a...
There's rare PS2 games.
There are some very rare PS2 games. Weirdly enough... 4 of them are Phoenix games, because they're Phoenix games that are only published in certain regions and are very hard to get hold of.
Mm.
Mambo is one of them. I actually managed to pick up... I wish. Oh, God, I hope it's number 5 on the list I was reading. I'm going to go check that. But the other game I picked up that's quite rare, it isn't as rare as Mambo, is a game called Iron Chef, which is essentially Mario's Cement Factory, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of Pierre the Chef is Out to Lunch.
I swear there's another game called Iron Chef.
Well, there's a TV show called Iron Chef, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's a PS1 game or a Saturn game. I can't remember. PS1 more.
This
likely.
Is also on the DS and the Wii, I think, this game. So maybe
and it's
you've known
got
it
the same
there.
Title?
Yes. It's also for the same developers, but it's not published by Phoenix on those platforms, if I remember correctly. Or maybe it is.
So
but
is it going to be a good game?
Apparently,
you like Cement Factory, don't
apparently
you?
Apparently it's not too bad. Yeah, I really do like Cement Factory. It's not... as fun as the Bottle Factory, the Super Mario Brothers
yeah,
one I have.
That's one.
But I like Cement Factory. It's a pretty simple concept. You have to jump on stuff and then you have to hit them into a thing. But this one, you're not mixing cement, you're mixing soups because you're chefs. But it looks all right. So I'm going to give that a go. But for fucking a quid each for games that are selling on eBay for upwards of like £60-70 a pop,
I mean,
for Phoenix games.
The amount of money you can save from charity shop I mean, I'm only just realizing myself now how often you might find these things, because I wouldn't have thought today you'd have found what you found so easily. Denmark especially.
I wouldn't either. Phoenix Games actually have kind of a rare exception to this rule, because Phoenix was based somewhere in Scandinavia. Like, their headquarters is apparently based around here, their distribution. Which is why a lot of these games, I think, turn up. And I could tell by one or two of mine have Furtex stickers on. And if you think of any Furtex supermarkets there are here, they're also carried by Morrison's in the UK.
Mm.
A lot of these supermarkets went in for these budget games that people bought because they were like, okay, that's a PS2 game for my kid for a tenner. And then it was shit and the kid never played it, which is why they're in usually really good nick.
But some games aren't shit.
No, they aren't. Some of them aren't.
Dead Eye Jim. I was going to say Gunslinger Clive then.
Dead Eye Jim is a very good game. Iron Chef is apparently not too bad. Mambo seems all right. I've not heard anyone rant and rave about it.
Number five.
But there's some Atlas games that are just published under the Phoenix banner that were full retail releases in Japan. There's
Blimey, Matthew.
A few other ones that are like, okay, this could be interesting. A lot of them are budget racing games, as we've played with things like Extreme Quads
is one to avoid, but if you fancy a laugh,
and White Van Racer,
might be worth a quid.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's worth a quid just to see the worst racing game you'll ever see. But you know, I picked up these things; they're all right. I also picked up Blood Bowl for the Xbox 360 because I like the board game, and I played it at my brother's, even though it seemed quite complicated, but I wanted to play it.
And it was cheap.
Yeah, they've just re-released it on the PS4 as well, and I was tempted to get that. So maybe I can scratch the itch with an Xbox 360 game and save myself some pennies. That was 20 kroner. So, jobs are good.
You played any more Rocket League?
I have not played any more Rocket League. I haven't had a chance to play some Battlefield. Played a bit of Woolly World, but that's pretty much it.
Won't be long before Battlefront?
No, it will not. Month, well, so there's a beta coming out in October, and then the game's out in November. And
Street
so.
Fighter must be soon as well.
Apparently so, yeah. It's getting there.
Excited about that. I actually remember another game I picked up this week. That was Diablo 3 for a fiver.
Yes, I remember you showing me for the 360. It's all right.
Yeah, it's in that buy one get one free officer offer.
Buy one get one free officer of the week. Buy one get one free officer. Hello, hello. What's going on here?
Yeah, where well, you get another one free, and
it's not the Danish steal of the week, Tom.
No. My girlfriend Claire, she's just recently got herself a PS3 and quite likes Grand Theft Auto, so I picked up episodes of Empty City along with that.
Yes.
So that was good.
Fun and games?
Fun and games indeed.
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes, I guess. That brings us to the end of the podcast.
It's been a pleasure to do the podcast with you again, Matthew.
It has been a pleasure, Thomas.
It feels like it's been a while, but it's not really been a while. Just a lot's happened in a short space of time.
I think so, yeah. Well, we'll get back in the groove. It's all right. Okay, if you have liked this podcast, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack, where you can give us a like and you can be like, oh, I really like your podcast. You need to keep doing your podcast. That'd be nice to you. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast, where you can do the same thing. You can also go to iTunes, where you can subscribe to this podcast and give us a cheeky rate while you're there. You can also go to blastprocess.com or tomandmattattack.com to listen to
the podcast. You can go to blastprocess.com once I've sat down and made new banners for the past three episodes.
They don't need to know. You'll have done it by tomorrow when this published podcast goes up. Right?
My intention is, yes, to update Blast Process with all the latest Tom Matt Attack episodes, which are available elsewhere, so don't feel like you're missing out if you don't go Blast Process. They are, as you've mentioned, other places.
Yes, in the old iTunes and at tomandmattattack.com, respectively. Okay, speaking of respectively, I'm going to have a respectable lunch.
And I'm going to sod off.
Okay, you do that. Until next week, guys and girls, game on.
Sod off. Game on.
Bastard.